So the sermon in scripture for today was about everyday prayer, everyday normal prayer in your everyday normal lives. And it just really didn't seem appropriate given that our lives are just kind of not everyday and normal right now. It seemed like the time to trot out some of the less everyday occurrences in the scripture, the things that don't happen very often in scripture or in our world, and take a look at that to speak to us this morning in the ways that God works in the midst of fear and things being different than our regular. So our second reading is from the prophet Ezekiel in the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and I prophesied, and suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring up you from your graves. O my people, I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was, let's see here. When I was in Iraq, the second time, I was on base, on land. I was part of an army unit. I was with a command unit. So I was on Camp Victory, which is just a huge army base at the old airport. It includes the airport's huge base in Baghdad. And it was we were not under attack. The base itself was not under a direct attack from the enemy. Most of the fighting was taking place in other provinces. Baghdad was a relatively calm place to be. But sometimes people would decide they wanted to shoot at us. So they would just basically lock the system that was deployed that could actually shoot those down, but it wasn't perfect. It didn't always hit them. So as we lived and worked for 6 months in Iraq, there as I was doing work for 6 months in Iraq, sometimes you would read or hear about somebody who got hit by an RPG and killed just as they walked to work, or as they took a shower, or as they were playing soccer in a field. Because it was completely unpredictable when this might happen, and when someone might just shoot a rocket over the gate. Now, when you have to live under the threat of that kind of attack, of that death that could just come upon you at any minute, you have to decide how you want to live. Because there are safer places on the base, right? If you're in your room, it was surrounded by concrete walls that were probably 15 feet high. So for an RPG to actually hit you in your room would have been extraordinarily random, you were very safe. Like, if you were in your room, you were very safe. If you were in the palace where I were, you were also very safe because it was surrounded by concrete and bunkers. But basically anything else you did, for instance, like going to worship, increased your risk of being hit by an RPG. And you had to decide how you wanted to live. You could spend the entire 6 months transiting from your room to eat, to work, and back to your room, and not do anything else. You could choose to live your life in that way, or you could choose to continue to live your life as best as you could, taking the most reasonable precautions that you could, but not allowing the fear to rule your life. Not allowing the fear of this imminent threat to control your life. And that's the way I chose to live. And sometimes we had to dive into a ditch when we were on our runs because the air raid siren went off. But it was better to continue to live in the way that I felt called to live and not to allow fear to rule in my life. We must not live in fear. We can always take reasonable precautions to listen to people that are wise, and take reasonable precautions, right, to keep ourselves safe, to keep our families safe, to protect our communities from this virus that is there. But we cannot live in fear, because we serve a God who can do incredible, impossible things. We serve a God who can take dry bones and knit them back together into living people. Now that prophecy, that was a prophecy that was given, as I told the kids, to the people of Israel when they were at their lowest point. The Babylonians had come in and conquered them, and the dry bones represented a field of Jewish men, soldiers who had been slain by the armies of Babylon. Right? A field of soldiers who had been killed. Their lands had been raided and ravaged. Their people had been murdered and driven out. Their fields, their temple had been destroyed. And many of their people had been drug off into exile in Babylon. And for them, what would be the point of worshiping a God who had failed them such? What would be the point of continuing to follow a God who had allowed them to be destroyed in this way? And Ezekiel was coming to that people, the people who had been scattered and murdered and seen their land taken over and their temple destroyed, and telling them that even amidst the death and the hopelessness that they see, that they saw on a day-to-day basis, that God is still with them. That God still has a plan for them. A plan for their good and not for their evil, as Jeremiah would tell the people. That God could take even the dry bones that were laid to waste in the field and make new life out of them. That the real death that they saw, God was going to rebuild into a new community, into a new life for them as Jews, teaching them a new way to worship God, a new way to live as the people of God. And that they should not stop being God's people and doing and living the life that God called them to live. There's lots of stories about how that worked out. We just talked about one last week about Daniel, who had been taken into the exile, and how he continued to pray to the Lord even when it was under the threat of death. And for us today, we must not allow fear to stop us from continuing to live in the ways that God has shown us and taught us are the ways that God's people must live. Now, I'm not saying that means you need to continue to hug and handshake, right? We can take reasonable precautions. What I'm meaning is deeper ways of living, right? That we must still live with kindness to our neighbors. That even in the face of this dangerous virus, that we can still think about our neighbors. We don't have to only think about ourselves and our family and what we can do and forget about everybody else. We can still think about our neighbors and what we can do to live in kindness and in good relationships with our neighbors. We can still live with a spirit of generosity. That we don't need to hoard and to take into ourselves all the resources that we might need someday in this future that's unpredictable. That we could still live with an open hand and a generous spirit to think about other people and what they might need. For example, not to buy all the hand sanitizer in the tri-state area, but to allow other people to have hand sanitizer. Or a church to have some wipes for its door handles, which I managed to find at Ingalls. It's basically the only place, I guess, in Greenville that has wipes. We can still live with respect for other people. Respect for the dignity of each person being created in the image of God. And you might say, why? Why would we do that? Why in the world would we not just take care of ourselves in the face of such dangerous threat? Because we serve a God who is greater than all of this, who has defeated the world, who can knit together bones and make new life, who can recall someone who has died of a great illness from the dead and bring them up out of the grave and set them to life again. God does impossible things, and God does them through prayer. In our story, we see that Ezekiel is talking to God when God does this. Ezekiel is in a state of prayer when God shows him this vision of the bones being brought back to life. And Jesus, before he calls out Lazarus, he raises his voice to God in prayer, not for himself, but to show everyone else, look, this is how you do it. This is how impossible things happen, through prayer. God is calling us now to be in prayer, not just for ourselves and our family, not just for our everyday lives, but for impossible things to happen. Because that is the God we serve. That is the God who healed the woman with the issue of the blood. That is the God who came in Jesus Christ and healed lepers. Healed ones who had been shunned away and quarantined from society. God is the one who came in Jesus Christ and the little girl who was sick and died and brought her back to life. These are the things that our God does. This is the ability and the power that God has to fight against even the sickness that can prevail in our society. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that we need to go around just trying to pray it out of people. Like, we still need to practice reasonable precautions to keep us safe. But what I am saying, right, what I am saying is that this is not a time to neglect the regular everyday practices that you have that keep God in your life and in working in our world. That we must continue now more than ever to be in prayer for our world, to be in prayer for our neighbors, to be in prayer against this virus, and for prayer for those people who have it. This is a time to experiment with bold prayers, to really think and believe and pray against this virus. And imagine what it would be if all the Christians in this country and in this world would do that. And what power God might release into the world to stop the spread of this virus. You know, you can tell a lot about people by how they face death. You can tell a lot about their faith. I'm blessed and fortunate because I get to sit often with people who are near death, who have lived lives of faith, whose faith is strong. And these people so often are not afraid. They are not afraid of death because they know and have learned through years and years of serving our God that our God is more powerful than death. That our God brings life. And that they have nothing to fear. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.